You are listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we are here with local author and celebrated writer, Erica Duarte. Erica, we're so glad to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Erica, let's start at the very beginning. What's the very first thing you remember writing? What's the very first?
Poetry.
How old were you?
I used to write poetry. I was probably started writing poetry when I was 12 years old. And do you remember those old 17 magazines or like teen magazines
that
used to get back in the 90s?
Teen Beat.
Yes. So they used to have this like section of like poetry that kids could just like send in their poems. Mm-hmm. And I used to cut those poems out and keep them.
Did you ever submit any poetry to the magazine?
I did not. What? No. I just would write in my own little journal about my little 12-year-old stuff
about Jonathan Taylor Thomas or Devin Sawa, whoever was on the cover at the time.
Yeah.
So poetry was the first thing you remember. And do you remember what you wrote about? What was inspiring you when you were 12, other than JTT's haircut and all of that?
Love, probably.
Yeah.
You know,
the age old poetry kid inspiration.
Stuff, my brothers and sisters fighting, or my angst, or just things I loved or hated. I'm not really sure exactly what I was writing, but I just know I was just writing.
Did you have a place that you would escape to at your house to go write? Were you, when you had your teenage angst moments, you're like, I'm going to the treehouse with my journal?
My bedroom.
Yeah.
Probably in my closet. I remember having like a box, like a shoe box filled with like little piece scraps of paper writing, and then the poems that I would cut out, and that's where I would go. I'd go sit in my closet.
So then what happened next? Like, when did you know, okay, I'm good at this, or hey, I really like this, or?
Well, then it was years and years and years of just reading books. Like, I just love reading. I fell in love with reading pretty early on in my childhood, and I've just always been an avid reader. And then when I got to high school, I started taking English classes, and I loved writing then. I didn't ever really write creatively until actually I got into college. But I always kept like a journal or just something that I was always like writing about my life, basically. I started just writing about my own life and my own personal struggles or things I liked or disliked or that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get into creative writing until after I got out of college.
And so then for somebody that didn't maybe know what that means, what would that mean to you to get into creative writing versus writing about your own life or own experience?
Creative writing is fiction writing, writing about made up characters, made up worlds, maybe taking stuff from your real life, but turning it into something pretend, something better. You know, that's when I started. That's creative writing.
Do you remember the first piece of creative writing that you created? What was the story?
Yes, I actually wrote a story about, well, this came late, a lot later, because I wrote about my own life for a really long time. I did a lot of traveling after I graduated from college. I joined the Peace Corps. And so most of that time frame, I was just keeping journals and writing just about my life and like what was happening to me and things of that nature. Mm. And so I didn't really start writing creative writing until I moved here to Tennessee, actually. And I moved here to Tennessee about 16 years ago. And my first story is set in Rugby, so it's a tiny little town out in eastern Tennessee, and it's one of my most favorite places.
Oh, I love Rugby.
Because it's like magical.
It's magical. It's like the little Spectre from Big Fish, right?
Yes, it's like that.
Yeah.
And you go there, and there's all these old houses, and you're like, where did this come from? And so I started doing historical research on Rugby, and so my first short fiction story was a historical novel based in Rugby about a family who lived there, and in one of the houses, there's a ghost story that it comes around that house. There's a ghost that lives, is supposedly a woman who lives in the upstairs of one of these houses.
Oh, I love ghost stories.
So I wrote about how she died.
Okay. So did you actually know how she died, or this was where the creative writing
started? No, this is where I started to make stuff up. Yeah.
What happens to her?
So in this story, she ends up, she's a young woman, 18, 19 years old, and she's kind of forced into a marriage through her family, and she doesn't like her husband. She doesn't love him. He's sort of not a very nice man. And so she finds a different man, a younger man, who's like just sweet and loving, and they fall in love. And then her husband finds out and kills her.
Oh.
murders her.
Twist. Yeah. I was like, oh, love, and then no.
But then the ghost story part of it is where it's like, the love story comes in all during the whole book.
All right, we're coming back to this. I have to know more about this right after our break. We're on the scene with Erica Duarte. You are back listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we're here talking with Erica Duarte, a local artist and author, and she is telling us about one of her very first pieces of creative writing, ghost lore and fiction. But I want to jump in right now with what you're working on. What are you working on right now? You just recently wrapped it up. Did I see this?
I did, yeah. So,
how does that feel?
It feels great. It's sort of great. There's a moment of like, yes, it's done. But then now I'm in like an editing phase. And this is actually a three-book series. And I just finished the first book. So it's a YA romance. And if YA is young adult, and that's my favorite genre. I love romance. Everything I write has some sort of romance in it. And it always has some sort of young adult aspect to it, verging on adult.
What draws you to that? What draws you to that genre? Is this what you started out reading and being inspired by?
Yes, it's stories that I love. It's the type of story that I love to read personally. I love stories about young adults on the verge of like adulthood, just taking that leap and how they like grow and change in that short period of time. Mm-hmm. I just love to read about it, and it's just some of my favorite stories. So that's what I write. And the book I'm working on right now, so it's set here in Tennessee, and it's total fantasy romance. It's called considered paranormal romance because there's a witch and there's a curse and there's
It doesn't happen at twilight, does it?
It's not.
There's nothing that happens at that time of day, is it? There aren't vampires no. lurking around waiting to there's bite no young women, are there?
Okay. There's no vampires, but okay. There is the roguaru. And so that's sort of a Louisianan southern folklore. And the roguaru literally translate to man who changes into an animal.
Mm.
And he does this at the full moon. Dark. So it's sort of like okay. the wolf story, okay. mm-hmm. but it's more centered around this curse. So and it starts back in like the 1800s. There's this, it's set in a valley. In this valley, there's two families. One owns one side of the valley and the other owns the other side of the valley. And there's a river that runs through it. And back in the 1800s, there was a young man and young woman who fell in love and had a tryst, but then that fell apart. And when that fell apart, the witch ended up cursing the man, making him into the roguaru, which is he now shapeshifts into this animal that hunts blood every full moon.
Oh, people?
Well, yes, but typically, it's just mostly they try just animals. Right. Yeah, okay.
Okay, they're just going after some. I mean, they're just like us, but you know, they want a cheeseburger.
So fast forward. Now the story really starts in this day and age, and it's the ancestors of these two families, and it's a young man and a young girl, and the curse actually ends up going down through every generation. So the curse goes through all of the generations of this family, of all of the men in this family. And now it's the young boy. He has it now. It's been handed to him. All of the rest of his family is gone.
Is he a young adult?
He's a young adult. He's 17 years old.
Straight YA.
These are 17-year-old kids.
Here they come.
And so, and he's been like holding on to this curse like an anvil. Like it's been handed down to him for generations. He knew it was coming. He knew he was trained to like deal with it. Now the young girl, her family sort of like has lost all this information, has no idea about curses, has no idea that they even have magic or are descended from witches. So she comes back to the valley and suddenly all of this starts to come out. She starts to, magic starts to happen, and she ends up meeting this young man. And as the story progresses, she finds out more and more information. Her magic starts to come back. She starts to do research about her family. And she finds out eventually about him and his curse. And she ultimately wants to help him to break that curse. And they end up falling in love.
Yes, they do.
They have to.
They have to because it's, well, they don't have to, but yes, for the purposes of your romance, young adult, we need love.
We always need love.
So, and how do you go into, your brain is already thinking ahead to part two and part three, and you know where that's going to go. And yes. Oh, wait, hang on, don't tell me anymore. Let's go on a quick break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Erica Duarte, author of an amazing sounding young adult novel series. You are listening to The Scene. I'm your host, Laura Holloway, and we're here talking with Erica Duarte, local author and recently published. Let's talk about that. So we have just recently been talking about your young adult series. You're already thinking ahead to part two and part three. How does your mind work as an author to already be planning ahead to that next novel? I mean, most people can't even finish writing the first one, and you're already there. So talk to me about your process.
It's just a lot of thinking. I sit down, I actually use like a giant whiteboard, and I make sort of a W shape because you got to have the ups and downs. It's the arc of the story, basically. And I start there, and then I was like, I know the kids are going to start here, or the characters are going to start here, and I know they're going to end here. Now, how are they going to get there? And they have to have ups and downs because that's what you want. You want an emotional arc in your story. So then I just sit down and I start thinking like, well, what's going to happen to these people? What's going to make them move forward and what's going to drive them to the end? What mm-hmm. You got to give them a goal. That's kind of how my process. And then I just sit there and I start thinking about
questions. You know you're going towards the end. You already have the end planned when you start the beginning. Does it ever change?
Sometimes it changes. Okay. Yeah, it'll sometimes change. And this is why before I really ever start even writing, I go through this long plotting process and it varies in length, and I'll just sit there for hours or days and I'll just ask myself questions like, well, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? What if this happens because of this? And I just start making notes and I just let my imagination just sort of run wild and I just take notes and I just like, and it can be something totally off the wall, like, oh, well, why would this person not be possessed? Like, let's make that happen, you know? Like, and how would that happen and why, you know? And then how are we going to solve that problem?
Do you ever work people that you know into your books? Like, do you ever meet people and you're like, you're terrible, I'm making you into a villain in my next book?
Yes, yeah, sometimes I do. Love that and so I'll much. Use, like, names of people I know, too. Oof,
just and the witch, so-and-so.
Yes. Yeah, like...
Well, we don't have to say them.
Yeah, we don't want to.
We'll just know.
They're there.
They're out there somewhere, maybe listening. Who knows? But yeah, I think that's probably a good therapeutic tactic, too, to kind of get out some of that and to unleash sheer unhappiness with people into characters.
That's true. Actually, that comes out a lot in the short story that I just wrote. And that is actually getting published.
And it's about her husband. He's listening right now. I'm just kidding.
It's not. Oh. So it's called Maisie. It's a story about a young girl. She's 17 and she goes to high school here in Cookeville, and it's set here in Cookeville. And it's about the LGBTQ community and the banning of books, which is really happening a lot right now. And it's important to talk about it because it's not something that I personally believe should be happening. So there's a publisher. I follow a lot of small publishing companies, and there's a small publishing company called Wild Ink Publishing. And they ask for people to submit short stories, and they give you like the criteria, like they give you what they want you to write. So Wild Ink Publishing launched an anthology called Uncensored Ink, an anthology that challenges, discusses, and protests book banning. And so they wanted stories surrounding anything that had to do with book banning. It could be a personal story. It could be a fictional story. And I sat down and I was like, I have a story I think I could write that would, you know, talk about the emotional side of that. So I created a story about a young girl. Her name is Maisie. And this follows Maisie in her daily life as she navigates a town that doesn't necessarily support that she is a young LGBTQ woman and what that would be like for her if her school started banning books, if her community started banning books. And that's the basis of this story and her emotional journey of trying to figure out how to then deal with that. And it got accepted to be published in the anthology, and that will be coming out in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Published author.
Thank you.
What was your inspiration for this? Obviously, I mean, of course, current events and things that are happening. Was there any one person that you saw their face as you were writing this, or just a...
My family member. I have several family members who are young LGBTQ women, and also current events that were happening around town, things that I personally saw, billboards that are just not kind, that were very geared towards trying to just put these people down. And I did not like that. And so that was the basis for this story. And also on a little bit larger scale, in our school districts now, and this came down from the Tennessee State legislature, all of the books in our schools have to be logged and put online for public, I guess, just to look at them, just to see what's books are in our schools. Okay. And they didn't really do it. I don't think they're really doing anything with that. I don't know personally about what's happening with that. But in my fictionalized version of this story, it's because they want to censor the books that are being put into the schools. Mm. And so those were the three things that gave me the basis to write this story.
Yeah. It's amazing how real life, sometimes the way that we are able to have a voice, or, you know, this is your voice, you're an author, this mm-hmm. is your voice, you're able to write a story about a girl who's experiencing something that you personally feel very against. And a lot of people back that. And I think it's Wild Ink. What was the name of the
Wild Ink Publishing?
How do people find this, and how do people find out more about you?
Well, they can go online. I am definitely on social media,
and she's so on is the socials,
and so is Wild Ink Publishing. Okay. You can just go to at Wild Ink Publishing, and you can find them, you know, online, and you can find me at Erica Duarte Writes. I'm on Instagram or Facebook.
Awesome. What advice would you have for any young writers out there trying to decide whether or not to put pen to paper?
Just do it. You just have to sit down and just start writing. I think that's the hardest part of being a writer, is just sitting down and making time and the dedication to do it. I get up at 5 a.m. and that's when I start my writing day, and I'll sit there and I'll drink my coffee, and I'll just, sometimes I don't even write. Sometimes I just think. But it's like getting you into the mindset of writing. You just got to sit down and do it. Mm. And you got to do it diligently. You got to be diligent about it. It takes practice, dedication, but I think the number one thing that it takes is obsession.
You heard it first. You want to become a writer? Be obsessed. Erica Duarte, it was so nice having you on our show today. Look her up, find out more about this author, and follow her works, especially in the young adult genre of your local library. And where else can we find you? Say one more time.
Erica Duarte Writes on Erica Instagram Duarte Writes. And Facebook.
Thank you very much, Erica, for being here.
Thank you. This was wonderful.